Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. So it has been said many times that we in our Anglican worship services, we read more scripture than nearly all other Christian denominations do in Sunday morning services. Now, each week, we hear four, and even participate. We don't only hear them, we participate in four different passages of Scripture every Sunday. Always one from the Old Testament, a psalm, one of the New Testament letters or epistles, and then also one passage from the Gospels of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I got to tell you that every once in a while, the Anglican preacher has a dilemma. A dilemma because he wants to preach on all four of those passages, a whole sermon on all four of them. This is one of those weeks for me. Now, we could go to the Old Testament passage in Deuteronomy. It's one of the great sermons of Moses just before the people of Israel entered into the promised land. And honestly, it's a quite simple passage, really. Believe in God, trust in God, be obedient to God, and you'll be fine. Do the contrary, and, well, death is the alternative. Then we have Psalm 1. Psalm 1 beautifully lays out the goodness of the blessed man and the disobedience of the ungodly. Spoiler alert, the blessed man is Jesus. And all of humanity, that is you and I, are the ungodly man who are in need of salvation through the blessed man. And then we have that great story of redemption, amazing redemption and second chances in Paul's letter to Philemon. A runaway former slave who encountered Jesus and was transformed during his running to be welcomed back to the former slave owner, who was also transformed in a miraculous encounter with Jesus. And then the two of them would come together to become co-workers, fellows, together in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Sometimes there's just too much to choose from. We have four great passages today. I'm going to preach on the gospel passage this morning. Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 25. This is continuing along in these great middle passages of the gospel of Luke, when Jesus is continuing to teach us about discipleship. And not only teach us about discipleship, what discipleship is, but also what it means to believe in him. What it means to believe in Jesus, what it means to have faith in him, to trust that his words are really right and true and good, and then how to be that disciple, how to follow him in our everyday life. Well, quite honestly, I mean, you just heard me read the gospel passage. This can be a quite difficult passage to hear, can't it? Right? I mean, the word hate is so harsh. The word hate is very harsh. Why would Jesus use a word like hate? Does he really want us to hate those who are the closest to us? Does he really want me to hate my parents and my wife and my children and my siblings and my friends? To hate even myself? Is that really what he's asking us here? Or really telling us here. Now, it is interesting to note that he has included every walk of life in this list. Every walk of life is included from birth to death. No one is left off of this hate list. And he says, if we don't hate, then we cannot be his disciples. If we don't hate, then we cannot be his disciple. Is this what he's really telling us? All right, well, the short and easy answer is no.
It isn't, but it does require a little bit of explanation.
Well, the short and easy answer is no, at least not in the way that we think of the word hate, okay? After all, this is the same Jesus who tells us to love our enemy. Okay, so for the proper context of this passage, I want us to go all the way back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 29. It's a story that you may be familiar with. It's a story of Jacob and his two wives, Rachel and Leah. And we read at the end of Genesis chapter 29 that Jacob loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. Now, of course, we have to keep in mind this is a very different time, and you know, two wives were normal at that time. It is not now, of course. But we read that Jacob loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. It also, that sort of hierarchy of love is also stated as being hatred for Leah. Like I said, this is the very end of Genesis chapter 29. You can go back and read those if you'd like. But Jacob loved them both, even though one passage describes it as hatred for Leah. Jacob loved them both, but he did love Rachel more in this hierarchy of love. He was not violent or abusive to either one of them. He had that deeper connection with Rachel. Well, this is the type of hierarchical love that Jesus is getting at in Luke 14, what we read this morning. For us to have a covenant relationship with God through Jesus, we are to place him at the very top of our hierarchy of love. So much so that everything and everyone else that we love dearly, that we hold close, seems like hate in comparison. It's a comparison more than an actual disdain for someone. It's necessary for us when following Jesus, when listening to things that he says, when knowing especially things that he says that are difficult, it's necessary for us to give up in order to grow up, to grow in love. It is necessary for us to see truth in order to place Christ at the head of my life, because he is always first in the hierarchy. And then right after making this proclamation of hating, Jesus gets to the true heart of this entire passage. He says, once again, this isn't the first time, it won't be the last. He tells everyone, we do good to note that it says that he turned and spoke to the large crowds who had gathered. So he was walking with the disciples. Jesus knew that this was important enough that all of these people who were following him that close behind had to hear what he is going to say. And this is what he said. In order to be a disciple of Jesus, you must take up your own cross. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. This is one of the truly most valuable and most important aspects of Christian discipleship. Taking up my own cross in order to follow Jesus. Taking up my cross, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, is picking up and carrying my own means of death. A humiliating death, a torturous death. I'm supposed to take that and go to my death. Well, not only is taking up my cross carrying my own means of death, but to take up my cross is to then put myself in the place of a condemned criminal. I need to put myself in the place of a condemned criminal.
What condemned criminal is that?
Is it simply me living in my own sins? Who is the condemned criminal that we are supposed to be putting ourselves in the place of?
Well, it's Jesus.
It's the Savior of the world. He was a condemned criminal.
So this passage in Luke chapter 14, what's happening essentially is Jesus is saying, first to the disciples and to the crowds that had gathered, he's saying, I am going to die. I'm on my way to die. What he's saying to you and I is that I have died. I have died. And when I died, so did you. So did you. And now, because of that death, it is time for you to identify with me in my death.
Friends, St. Paul says the same thing. In Colossians chapter 3, we read that Paul says, set your mind on things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of the Father. For you have died with Christ, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. It's the same thing that Jesus is saying when he tells us to take up our own cross and follow him, to take up our means of death. Because if you believe in Jesus, you have already died. That death has already taken place. Scripture affirms and reaffirms to us multiple times that the very day that you chose to believe that Jesus was right in all that he did and all that he said, that you died with him. You were buried with him. And so then, now, God looks at you, God looks at every one of us as if everything has already been paid. The slate has been wiped clean. All of our sin, our debt, all of the chaos and confusion, all of the mistakes, all of the things that I've done wrong, all of the things that I have left undone, all of the things that have happened to me, have been reconciled and paid for. All of those things died with me when I died with Christ in his death. And if then you have been crucified with Christ, it is finished. Just as he said when he died on the cross, it is finished. If I truly take up my cross today and follow him, I have already gone through everything that he has. I have been arrested. I have been beaten. I have been tortured. And there is no need to live my life then in the loneliness of beating myself up because of my sins, because of the things that I've done, because of the things that have been done to me, because that torture has already happened. It's already been made well. I've already been crowned with thorns, speared, and nailed. There is nothing else that I can wallow in. It is finished. I've been set free by taking up my cross. Been set free from the things of my mind that constantly condemn me, telling me that I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, that there's no way that God could love you like that. All of those things, all of those thoughts have also been nailed to the cross.
Those things have been taken to the cross and delivered for Jesus to take care of in his death.
So what does the death of Jesus really mean to you? Is it a nice, hopeful wish for something on into the future? Or has it actually taken hold of your heart, your mind, your body, your soul? Because when he died, I died with him. So did you. Was his death in vain? Was his death not worth it? Friends, the cost of being a disciple of Jesus has already been paid. It's already been paid. It was paid once and for all on his cross. And so now, today, I take up my cross. You take up yours. And we'll walk together. We'll follow behind Jesus, leaving behind death and all other things that hold us in bondage. So now when God looks at you, please know. Please know what he truly sees. And what he sees is what Jesus has already done. That's what God sees when he looks at you. So friends, we put ourselves in the place of the condemned criminal. And every day, may our first goal when we wake up be to remind myself who I am in Christ. That I have died, and that there is nothing else for me to prove. May I remind myself of everything that Jesus has already done for me today. To take up my cross is indeed to be living a life of sacrificial service, just like Jesus did. But it's also doing that, living that life of sacrificial service out of the fullness of what he did on his cross. This is what Tim Keller refers to as living in emotional wealth from knowing your position in Jesus. That's a beautiful statement, isn't it? Living in emotional wealth from knowing your position in Jesus. Our position in him is the position of the condemned criminal. And as such, we have the second chance. A second chance for new and unending life, to live into the fullness of what his cross means for my cross. So today, we take up our cross. We live for Jesus, placing him as the highest love that we can imagine. Because that condemned criminal has already done it all for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we identify with you through your only Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And today may we choose to take up our own means of death, acknowledging that I am indeed the condemned criminal as well, on my own cross, and that I may no longer live a life of self-flogging or betrayal or selfishness, but live a life into the glorious light that comes from your holy cross. And Lord, may we ever be reminded that our sins are forgiven through your death, and that our uncleanness
is made clean by your blood. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
God is slow to anger when I go astray. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. For all my betrayals he will not repay. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Through mercy and compassion his great love is proved. Covers my transgressions like the snow. As far as east from west, let all my sins remove. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. He saved me from the pit when I had lost all hope. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. From in the springs of kindness all his blessings flow. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Our days will fade like flowers and are quickly spent. And like the wind our years will come and go. Everlasting favor is his covenant. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Merciful and gracious is my God to me. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I will tell his goodness through eternity. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, you angels, all you heavenly hosts, and every living creature here below. Praise the Father, praise the Son, and Holy Ghost. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, you angels, all you heavenly hosts, every living creature here below. Praise the Father, praise the Son, and Holy Ghost. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord.